So those of you that want to go can. Those of you want to stay, stay. Just then, that lady jumps up and says, before you decide, I just want you to know that in 5 minutes from here, you will find the oldest church in all of Europe. And not only that, it'll be the tomb of Maximilian. I'll also show you the most breathtaking view of the Alps. And I said to my wife, I'm really tired, but she is so enthusiastic. I'm going. You see, people who do stuff with all their heart, it's contagious. I wonder if we served God like that, wouldn't we be contagious?
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We've often heard that David was a man after God's own heart. Yet, when we look at the life of David, we see a lot of mistakes, including adultery and even murder. So how could a heart like that possibly please God? Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us that David had a heart that was correctable, and that's what makes the difference. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Heart That Pleases God.
Well, we do want to talk about the heart that delights God. And it's more than just a state of heart. It's a heart that's willing to be corrected, a correctable heart. You know, interestingly, Israel has stones that are thousands of years old, and it's taken the state of Israel billions of dollars to put back together and to preserve. Stones that haven't changed for centuries. But let me tell you one thing that the Lord says is more important than stones not changing. It's illustrated in a story where, when we were in Israel, we're lined up to go to the Western Wall to pray. And you have to go through a checkpoint. Now, an Israeli guard with a rifle is there to make sure everyone gets checked for concern of terrorism, etc. And the line, I mean, is as long as this auditorium. And this woman, this Jewish woman, came whipping by us and went straight to the guard and just started yelling at him and pointing at us. And I couldn't understand what she was saying. She was speaking in Hebrew. And then the guard said something, and she just turned around and just humph, and just walked right by us and went back to the end of the line. And so when I got up to the Israeli guard with a rifle, I said, whoa, what was that exchange about? He said, oh, you don't want to know. I said, yeah, tell me. He said, well, the lady said that she was Jewish and you guys are Gentiles. She's a chosen person and you're infidels, so you should wait and she should cut in front. I said, she's got a problem with her heart, huh? And I said, so what did you say to her? The guard said, I said to her, indeed, we are Jews, but these are our guests, and you need to be a better hostess. Get to the back of the line. I thought, ooch. You ever get your heart corrected like that? How do you respond? See, that's what we want to talk about. A heart that delights God isn't a heart that's always nice. It's a heart that's willing to be corrected when God speaks. Because we have to admit it, our hearts aren't always up and up. But God's going to correct our hearts. And sometimes he may even use a soldier with a rifle. But God wants our hearts to be right. See, in the Old Testament, it was all about the stones and getting everything together and keeping it preserved. When in actuality, if you think about it, in Matthew 24, the Lord actually prophesied and he said, not one of these stones will be left on one another. I'm not real concerned about how right the stones are, but I am very concerned about how right your hearts are. Because you'll praise me with your lips, he said in Isaiah, but your hearts are what? Far away in disarray. I want to talk to us about the heart that delights God. I think that's why he loved David so much, you know. Let's read at the top of our notes what he says about David. Would you read it with me out loud? Go. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. And the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people. Would you underline a man after my own heart? And then underline what I would say the second half of this, a man who will do all my will. There's two parts to our hearts that I want to talk about. Sometimes it's really nice when your heart is really propelling you and you just kind of go along because your heart is just really into something. But your heart isn't always into something. So does that mean you just live half-heartedly now? No, the other half is sometimes your obedience, sheer obedience, will need to drive and propel you even when your heart is lagging behind. I want to talk to you about a heart that pleases God. Sometimes we think, well, if my heart's not into it, then I'll just live half-heartedly and I'll limp along. When actually the key to success is when you know you're supposed to do something, but your heart's not there, you do it by sheer obedience. And it corrects your heart again. That's the key to success, knowing that sometimes your heart will be leading, but sometimes obedience will be leading. That happens to all of us. Let's read this next scripture, Proverbs 23 and verse 19. Go. Listen, my son, and be wise. Direct your heart in the way. Would you circle the word wise? You know what the key to wisdom is? Underline, direct your heart. You know why God says to direct your heart in the way? Because sometimes our heart needs directing. Your heart will not always direct. Your heart will sometimes need to be directed. And the heart that pleases God is in tandem. It's two parts. We want to be able to have our heart lead sometime, all the time, but sometimes we'll just have to direct our hearts. And by the way, would you write down, my heart is my responsibility. My heart is my responsibility. Because you see, that's what you're going to be and I'm going to be left with in the end, is our heart. And our heart isn't always something that propels us. Sometimes it'll just need to be obedient. And when that happens, it purifies, it gets your heart going. How do you fare when God corrects your heart? When your heart lags and God has to correct it a little bit to direct your heart? How do you do it? How you doing? You see, what God's looking for, would you write down, is pure hearts. God looks for pure hearts. Now, it's going to seem confusing, but they go hand in hand. Let's read what it says here. Go. Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, for God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the... See, David didn't always have a heart that was just right on the money because he had stumbled and fumbled with Bathsheba. Do you remember? But when Nathan confronted him, did he refuse? Did he reject? No, it was correctable. How are you doing in that way? Stories told of a young boy about 7 years old. The mother and father were sitting in church with these long pews, not like chairs like we have. He was standing up and the mother would say, sit down. And pull him down. He'd stand back up. And she'd say, sit down on these pews. And he'd stand back up. Finally, she pinched him really hard. And said, I said, sit down. And she pulled him down and held him down. And that little boy looked at his mother and said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. How do you fare when God corrects your heart? Sometimes he uses an Israeli with a rifle. Once he used a little child, the story is told. A man and his wife were arguing on his own birthday to boot. I mean, she had bought him some little present and he didn't like it, so he began to argue with his wife. You always buy me terrible presents, he said. You always do this. And then what seemed small escalated to some huge battle, and this little girl, 6 years old, didn't know what to do, and seeing her parents fighting. And you see, one of the things about hearts, when they go sideways, if you don't correct it right away, it becomes deceivable, and you start to believe things that aren't really true. The longer your heart goes sideways, and if obedience doesn't correct that heart, it becomes deceivable. And you start believing things that are not true at all. In fact, that father started saying, you never did love me, did you? You never did want me around. And this little girl comes up to her dad with a box and a ribbon. She said, Dad, your birthday. Here's your present. He said, what? Your present? Oh, so he took it and untied the bow and had a little lid to the box. And when he opened it up, it was empty. And he went into a rage with his little girl. Says, "Did your mother put you up to this? Did she put you up to this? Is this kind, some kind of a cruel joke?" And she said, "No, Daddy." He said, "It's empty." She said, "No, it's not empty." He said, "Look, it's empty." She said, "No, I just felt that what you needed on your birthday was just a lot of love. And so before I put the lid on the box, I blew 100 kisses into the box just for you." You see, God wants our hearts corrected. The reason it's so important to have our hearts in the right place is because, would you write down at the bottom of your notes, impure motive stops God's blessings. It stops God's blessings. It's a foundational key to God's blessings. He will not bless when there's impure hearts. When there are hearts that refuse to be corrected, He will not bless. But He will when there are pure hearts. You see, a lot of times when something goes wrong in a relationship, we still want to let other people know that we're sort of doing fine, but on the inside, we live half-heartedly in our marriage, half-heartedly in our ministry. I mean, we carry on, we make it look good, but we know that our hearts are gone. And that's why the scripture says, and if you'll bump back up to the scripture right above in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He might strongly support those whose hearts are completely His." You see, here's a heart that delights God. It's a heart that's whole and complete. When it said of David, it said that David had a perfect heart. You know what that word perfect means? When you have a perfect number in math, what does that mean? Fraction? No. A perfect number is a whole number. And that's the same word in the Greek. It's teleos, which means complete or whole. And it's the same in the Hebrew, but it's a little different. You know what a perfect heart in the Old Testament, you know what the word is? It's the same word we get shalom from. It's shalem. Yeah. It's a shalem heart. A heart that is at peace. At peace. See, sometimes we live, but there's no peace. We're in a marriage, but there's no peace. And the Lord says, "Ooh, we're going to have to work on that heart, because without a whole heart, I can't bless your marriage. I can't bless your future." One of the foundations that releases the key to God's blessings is a whole heart, a heart that is at peace. In other words, what God is saying is, whatever is stealing that peace from you, work it through. There's sometimes you just need to forgive. Sometimes you just need to let something go. "Yeah, but I'm right and they're wrong." Doesn't matter. Just let it go. Because the Bible says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence." Whose responsibility is it? Your heart? The condition of your heart? It is my responsibility. And the heart that delights God is someone who, when God speaks to your heart, whether it's with an Israeli and a rifle or a child with an empty box, that our hearts would be corrected again. See, sometimes we're standing up on the inside, even though we're sitting down on the outside. And there is a half-heartedness. So we're in our marriages, but half-heartedly. We're in our ministries, but half-heartedly. God is saying, we've got to have a whole heart, because then that's a secret to blessing. You look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, how often God will say, "I want you to serve me with all your heart." Deuteronomy chapter 6, the greatest commandment of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "If you seek me, you will find me, if you seek for me with all your heart." Colossians 3 says, "Whatever you do, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord." Have you seen people that do stuff with all their heart? They're contagious, aren't they? We went into Innsbruck in Austria, and we had been traveling all day, and I was just bleary and tired. And so we got into the hotel and we're just haggard. We're just with our bags. I just want to go up to my room. Well, the tour guide, the tour director of our tour said, hey, by the way, here's a lady, and this elderly lady, she's about 70 years old, standing there, and Elizabeth was her name. Elizabeth will do a walking tour. Those of you that would like to do a walking tour, because we have an hour and a half before dinner. And I thought, no way am I going to do a walking tour. I'm so tired. I said to my wife, forget it. And she said, I'm tired too. Let's just take a nap. And so he said, so those of you that want to go, can. Those of you want to stay, stay. I said, I'm group two. I'm staying. My wife said, me too. Just then, that lady jumps up and says, before you decide, I just want you to know that in 5 minutes from here, you will find the oldest church in all of Europe. And not only that, it'll be the tomb of Maximilian. I'll also show you the most breathtaking view of the Alps, right out back here, and a famous golden roof with pure gold. You want to come? Check this out. And I said to my wife, I'm really tired, but she is so enthusiastic. I'm going. I did. It was a fantastic tour. And I thought, I just wanted to go because, you see, people who do stuff with all their heart, it's contagious. And I thought, I wonder if we served God like that. Wouldn't we be contagious? See, that's the heart that delights God. It's a whole heart. That's why he keeps saying, serve the Lord with how much of your heart? Half? No, with. But yet we go into our marriages with half heart. We serve half-heartedly. We do ministry half-heartedly. And the Lord says, I'll send a soldier. I'll send a child. I'll send whatever I can so that your heart will get corrected. Because you see, the thing that's most important isn't that our heart never goes sideways. It's that when God comes in to correct it, we're correctable. And we're not just sitting down on the outside, but standing up on the inside. A correctable heart is a heart that delights God. You say, but Wayne, what about the times when my heart's not there? Come on, I mean, I don't feel like it sometimes. I don't want to go to church. What do I do? Well, here is the second half of the heart that delights God. The first is, if you can lead with all your heart, fantastic. But sometimes you need to lead with all your obedience, even though your heart is lagging behind. In fact, would you write down number two, my heart can actually become purified by right actions. By right actions. You say, well, what if your heart's not into it? Then I tell my heart to get into it. There's sometimes I'm in church and I don't want to worship. I'm tired. How many of you come to church and sometimes you don't want to worship? Raise your hand. Yeah, you're lying. And I just don't want to worship, you know. But I do it anyway because I know it's the right thing to do. And so I begin to worship and my heart is saying, stop it. I don't want to. And I just almost have to say, shut up. Just worship God. And you know, after a while, my heart changes because I'm doing what is right. There's going to be times in your marriage where or your ministry or your job, or if you're a student, just being faithful as a student, sometimes your heart's not into it, but you know it's what God has called you to do. So if your heart's not there, what do you do? Drop out? Do you live half-heartedly? You don't give in to that. You instead say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And you begin to go by obedience and you watch it purify your heart. You watch it start to change your heart because it is by obedience. And that'll happen in your marriage. Remember this, commitment can be defined as this. Commitment is defined as staying true to a worthy decision, even though the emotion of having made that decision is no longer there. Staying true to a worthy decision, even though the emotion of having made that decision is past. I stay true because it's a worthy decision. And then the heart comes back in, because the heart flags sometimes. But you then switch power to obedience, and your heart comes back. Oh, I'd love it for the heart to always be 100%, but that's not true because we're human. And then the obedience kicks in. Here's the key to success in God's blessings is knowing the kind of heart that delights God. It's both. It's both. Otherwise, half of your life, you'll have a bad attitude. Because half of the time, my heart's not into certain things, but I know that I'm called to anyway. And so I switch gears and I make the adjustments. It's an adjustment, a heart that can no longer be adjusted. That's what God says. Oh, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. I remember in Palolo Valley, my brother had an old bike sitting outside, and friends of mine said, "Hey, let's go down. There's some girls down at this playground. Let's take our bikes and go down there." Well, all I had is my big brother's bike, and it was way too big for me, but I wanted to go because there's girls, you know, and it's like in the fifth grade, I remember. So I went out and got my brother's bike, but the seat was way too high. I couldn't even touch the pedals when I'm sitting on the seat. And so I got a wrench to adjust the seat, but it was, because it was rusted, it just swelled the steel and the metal, and it broke the screw off or the bolt off, and it was no longer adjustable. But I want it because girls, you know. So I remember going there down to that thing with the seat about the middle of my back, and I'm pedaling and I'm sitting on the bar. Now that looked pretty dorky, but I thought that was the hardest bike to ride, because when I get up on the seat, I couldn't get to the pedals. It didn't look very good to the girls, but that's all right. But I was thinking, I wonder how our hearts are sometimes when it comes to being adjusted. Can God adjust your heart? Sometimes you'll use a guard with a rifle, or might be a little child with an empty box. So we see. But the test is this. Would you write it down? The test is, when action is requested, how will you respond? How will you respond? See, a lot of people live with half a heart. Some of you are here, and you're living with half a heart. And God is saying, I want your heart to be made whole. You say, but my heart's not into it. Then you live by obedience. And when you do, your heart gets purified. Because there's sometimes your heart will lead, but sometimes God says you need to direct your heart. It's the secret of that that'll bring God's blessings. That's the kind of heart. It's two parts. When you understand that, you start to tap in to God's best in your marriage, your life, your work, your schooling, because there's going to be days you will live by faith. Is that wrong? Absolutely right. You know, I don't feel like it, but I'm living by obedience. And soon I will feel like it. But until then, I will live by obedience. As you know, we changed the name of the Bible college that we're working on in Oregon to New Hope Christian College. And everyone was fine with it. And except I got this long letter the other day. And it was just a stinging letter, saying how dumb to do it like this, to name it after this one church, and you should be doing this, it should be generic, it should be this. And then he sent this letter, he copied about six or seven people, and I was just stirred in my heart. I thought, what a bozo this guy is. Who does he think he is? And I mean, he just ranted and raved and then said, I will come up there and meet with the board and talk to them. I thought, oh no, what? Who is this guy? Straight from the pit. And so I was just stirred. I was going to write him a letter. It would just take care of him. And I was talking to someone on the trip, and I said, what should I do with this? And this person gave me some great advice. He said, just choose to be kind. Do a brief, kind letter. And I thought, no way I want to be kind to this person. I will give him a piece of my mind. And he said, no, just be kind. I said, but I don't want to be kind. He said, just write it kind. So I said, okay. And so I actually pulled out my iPhone. I started to write a kind letter. Now, do you think my heart wanted to write that letter? No, but obedience did, you see. And when I finally sent it, it was a kind letter. When I sent it, I felt my heart go click, click, click. I thought, Lord, thank you. I'm so glad that there's some seasons of my life where the just shall live by faith. And when you do, your heart will follow suit. There's some seasons your heart will lead. Other times, obedience will. And God can use all kinds of things to correct your heart. The real question is, will you allow Him to correct your heart? And if you will, you'll begin to develop a heart that delights the Lord. That's the kind of heart that David had. That's the kind of heart we need to have.
You have just heard a message entitled The Heart That Pleases God by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.